I'd like us to read together a well-known passage from the 40th of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 40, from verse 27. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary. And the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Amen. Isaiah is speaking prophetically to the exiles of Judah. Under Nebuchadnezzar, a terrifying king of Babylon, God ordained for the Jewish nation to be expelled from its own land, carried off into Babylon, where they sat down and wept. Yea, they remembered Zion. And many of them may have thought that now we're no longer living in the promised land. God has abandoned us. And perhaps with some just cause, they may have concluded that for generation after generation, we sinned and rebelled against God. He has finally washed his hands of us. He's no longer interested. He's no longer concerned. And Isaiah addresses that point in verse 27. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim passed over by my God? Even in exile, God continues to love and cherish his people. He continues to follow his people's goings and comings and doings, even in Babylon. God may seem to be inactive, but he is not. Notice how Isaiah addresses the people there by their ancestor's name, Jacob, who became Israel, as though he were speaking to one man, one to one. And I confess there have been times, not just in 2018, when I have prayed and things have still not gone the way I wanted them to go, when difficulties have arisen. And maybe, I'm sure I haven't articulated it quite so fluently, but maybe I have said in my heart, my way is hidden from the Lord. My just claim is passed over by my God. And Isaiah addresses that situation in the next verse by asking a couple of questions full of incredulity, suggesting that something very, very obvious is coming. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. Perhaps there's a suggestion in verse 27 that God is exhausted or he's too busy doing other things to care about me. Yet look at the description we have there of our God, the everlasting God. The God with no beginning and no end. The God outside of time. The God not subject and liable to change nor age. He is the creator. Look at the enormity of the creation. And not just our planet. If you consider the size of our galaxy, it's incredibly huge. And then you realize it's just one galaxy among a great, great many. The God who created that is not too tired to be concerned with you. He neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. We cannot comprehend, even begin to comprehend, the mind of God. He acts in a way which we can neither comprehend nor fathom. His knowledge and access to information is far beyond our scrutiny. God is not in any way limited in terms of power or understanding. In verse 13, Isaiah asks, "Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as his counselor has taught him?" So Isaiah establishes at the very beginning, "Your God, O Israel," and he's our God. He is awesomely powerful and wonderfully knowledgeable. He is the God to whom you pray. He is the God you serve. And then in verse 29 and onwards, Isaiah talks of how that powerful, awesome God deals with you and me. He gives power to the weak. He doesn't give power to the powerful. He gives power to those who do not have power. I'm mindful here of a passage I often quote, which the apostle wrote to the Corinthians in his first epistle in chapter 12. Paul writes, "Concerning this thing, the thorn in the flesh, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me." Notice that even when the apostle Paul prayed, he didn't receive his answer the first time or the second time. Notice also that even on the third time, he didn't get what he wanted. He got what God wanted. And if in 2019, you don't always get the things that you want, but you get the things that God wants, you can thank that prayer we just prayed. "And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmity, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong.' If there is no power or strength in me, and I have to rely entirely upon the power of God, I'm not weak. I'm not powerless. Because he gives power to the weak. Well, how are we weak? Well, I'm weak when it comes to battling sin. I have a body of death. Oh, wretched man that I am. And I'm tempted from without, and the flesh within. But he gives power to the weak. He gives us the power to say no to ungodliness. In my life, I often lack wisdom. In that regard, I am weak. But he gives power to the weak. Sometimes it's hard to witness for Christ. He gives power to the weak. There are a great many believers who are having to withstand persecution. And when I hear some of the things which Christians around the world, the ordeal that they have to face, I think, would I be able to do that? Yes. Why? Because he gives power to the weak. And whatever difficulty or problem you have in your life, you rejoice at verse 29. He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Those who lack strength become strong. Now, of course, he's specifically talking to the Jewish exiles here. They were weakened politically, financially, spiritually. And yet, his words apply to us in those general terms. If you have no might, he'll strengthen you. I've said this before, I know, but I used to worry about falling away. What if, on my deathbed, I stop believing? Well, to those who have no might, he increases strength. My salvation is not based upon me being strong. It's based upon him being strong. And therefore, we have nothing to fear. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. When I was young, some of you think I'm young. The people I work with think I'm very old. It's all relative. But when I was young, I remember stopping up very late. And I didn't often get up very early, it must be said. But when I did, it was not a problem. I can't do that anymore. And when you are young, you have so much energy. And when you become older, I think you do get wiser. But you also become more tired. Would that I had the energy of youth and the wisdom of age. And yet Isaiah is saying, even young men who stop up late and play lots of sport and discuss new ideas and keep up with the latest trends here, there and everywhere, even they tire out. Even they eventually are exhausted. But in verse 31, there is a precious promise. A contrast with the young people, the young men, full of energy, charging around. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. The promise is given to those who wait. I don't like waiting. I went for a meal last week. And I feel I waited too long for the food. I don't like waiting in a queue. Although if the alternative is chaos, I'd prefer to be in the queue. When I pray for something, I don't like waiting. But in verse 31, blessing comes to those who wait. And perhaps the imagery here is those who wait upon the monarch. The queen has ladies in waiting. You kind of hang around. And the Lord's people are sometimes told to wait. Strong people don't wait. Off they go, charging off here, charging off there. But these people wait. But they're not waiting on the king, they're not waiting on the priest, they're not waiting on the pastor, they're waiting on the Lord, they're waiting on God because he is the source of their strength. We're told that their strength will be renewed. They have been strong and now they're not. But Isaiah says that is not the end of the tale. They will be strong again. Maybe you can look back at your Christian life. And you can say with a hymn writer, where is the blessedness I knew when I first knew the Lord? But Isaiah says, if you've lost that enthusiasm, if you've lost your strength, if you've lost your passion, it will come back. It will be renewed. You will be strong again. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. These people, though currently low and weak, will ascend. Though considered insignificant on the earth, they shall soar like the greatest of birds. Only once, I think, have I seen an eagle in flight that wasn't on the television. I don't recall it doing much flapping. Eagles allow themselves to be carried up on the thermals. When they fly, they're swooping and gliding, almost effortlessly, commanding the skies. And God's people are not here flapping about. They're gliding on a power and a strength invisible to the eye, which allows them to go higher. There may be a reference here to the 19th of Exodus, wherein the Lord says, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore I will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant that you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Here we have the imagery of eagle's wings in salvation and of those who are born on them as being a special treasure. Let me assure you, people of God, you are special treasure to one who is enormously rich. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. Who will? Who will? The weak of verse 29. Those without might in verse 29. Those who wait upon the Lord. We're told they shall run and not be weary. Well, eagles don't run especially well, but God's people are not eagles. They will rise with wings like eagles. Running is wearisome. And yet Isaiah says they shall run and not be weary. Well, Paul elsewhere talks about running the race. It's a great picture. You're in a race and you've got to run. You're in a marathon. You've got to keep on going. And as believers, we are runners. We're running a course. And the course is not easy and the course is tough. And the metaphors get quite mixed here. But you need to wait on the Lord while you are running. Because it's picture language. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Even walking can be tiresome. And they walk a long way, but they will not pass out. There are a number of verbs here used in the 40th of Isaiah. And I wonder which one is for you. Maybe the Lord is saying to you to wait. Psalm 27 and verse 14 says, "Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Some need to be renewed. Psalm 51 and verse 10 says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." I pray that for some people, 2019 will be a year of renewal, taking back that which was lost. Mount is another word the prophet uses. In Job 39 and verse 27, we read, "Does the eagle mount up at your command and make its nest on high? On the rock it dwells and resides, on the crag of the rock and the stronghold. From there it spies out its prey, its eyes observe from afar." The eagle is a majestic bird. Yet Isaiah says, the eagle is a picture of the believer. What about to run? In the beginning of the 12th chapter of Hebrews, the writer says, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily entangles us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." And the other verb is to walk. The Bible says, "When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. And when you run, you will not stumble." will contain trials and obstacles and difficulties for every one of us. Some will be relatively trivial. Others will be rather more profound. But the promises of God given through Isaiah apply in 2019 as they've applied in every year before. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. I thank God. My strength is not required. We all have access to a power and the strength of a faithful God who will keep us and guide us and protect us. I commend 2019, my 2019 and yours, to the God of heaven.